Scriptures, be with all the sick and injured, that it be your will, turn them to good health. Let's ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marty. Appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Brandon went home last night.
Brandon went home last night, so that is a little update there. We've been involved for some time here in our class. Actually, we began the study on January the 9th about what the Bible has to say about money. And I intend to bring that study to a close today. But let me say this in case I forget to say it. There's a lot of information that I had for us to look at. It's just, I just think it's time for us to draw the study to a close. But there are questions that we may not have addressed. And if you have a question that you would like for us to address, if you will let me have that after class today, then we will take a few minutes next week and look at those questions. So don't want to avoid anything that was pressing on your mind or something you was hoping that we would talk about. Bingo or lottery or something like that we just hadn't specifically mentioned. So if you have a question that's burning about this, we will take some time next week before we go into something else. Now let me address that just a little bit as well. Jeremy is going to be beginning a class here. I don't know that it'll be next week, but in the very near future, for our families, particularly aimed at our young families. And the best time to offer that is on Sunday morning. And so we've got some changes here in our format on Sunday morning coming up. What I intend to do here, I've got three extended studies that's on my mind. One I've already put together. We're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount in depth. Another one is I've got a study that I want us to look at that will be about 2 months that will be an overview of Genesis to Revelations. I want us to do that. And then the third thing, with Brother Bill Wheeler's help, I'd like for us to study the book of Revelations. Those are three big studies that we've got coming up in here in the next probably 2 years. But we have put together some extended studies for a while. We did the Road to the Cross and spent a lot of time on that. And then we've spent several months here on the study of money. So I'm going to give us a little break before we jump into another big study. Beginning next week and for a number of weeks, I'm going to just hit some individual topics, one per Sunday. And we may even spend some time looking again at some marginal notes. We looked at those in years past, and there are books in the Bible that we haven't done that with. Some just some notes from the margin of my Bible. So we're going to do some short things here to kind of break the routine before we enter into the study of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll do that in a couple of months. And in the meantime, there will be other things like Jeremy's class offerings there that some of you may choose to go to. Now today, as we draw this study to a close, we've talked about for some time about money, what the Bible has to say about money. And where have we been? The first thing that we talked about was that God owns it all. And that we're merely stewards of everything. Our money, our resources, and everything. We're just stewards of it. And what does it mean to be stewards? We talked about that. Spent a lot of time on that. Another thing that we talked about in our study is how we must guard against materialism. We want our money to serve us, not the other way around. But our culture, we live in a culture where many people serve their money, worship materialism. We spend a lot of time talking about debt and ask the question, is it wrong to borrow money? And we said, no, it's not. It's wrong to owe and not repay. But we looked at the verse in Romans that says, owe no man anything. And we determined that to be paying according to the schedule that you borrowed the money on, you don't owe the person. You know, you're paying it back as was planned. But if you don't pay it, then you're indicted by that verse. And so we talked about debt. We answered questions along the way like, is it wrong to be rich? Is it wrong for us to possess things? And I think we all agreed after looking at ample scriptures there that it's not wrong. Our attitude is what may condemn us about that. 1 Timothy 6, has a lot to say about them. Charge them that are rich that they be not high-minded and trust in uncertain riches, see. Doesn't say that they're condemned. It's their attitude toward those riches and so forth. And then the last study that we've had here had to do with tithing and our giving back to God. And then the last thing that we started when we were together the last time that I wanted us to talk about, and we will conclude today, is teaching our children financial responsibility. And I'd say that when we were together last time, this is the verse right here that we talked about a lot. Philippians 4:9. The things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these you do, Paul says. Paul says, do as I do. How many of us are comfortable making that statement to those around us? Can you truly say to your friends, do as I do? And more importantly, with our discussion today, to our children. Well, you don't have to say it. They're going to do it. Because as we noted when we were together last time, really the only principle I would give you here is this. You set the right example. You can say all you want to when you're dealing with your children. You do this or you do that, but your children are going to look at you. Your children are going to look at you. And I go back to a verse out of 1 Thessalonians here that I love, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Paul says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. I've got two things circled in these verses. In the first one, in verse 9, I've got we preached, circled it, and connected that to in verse 10, we behaved. We preached and we behaved. We talked and we walked. That's what Paul is saying. That's the idea here with setting the right example. As far as money matters go, we talked at length about the right attitude that we need to have about money and about debt and about budgets and about all of these things regarding finances. How do we pass that on to our children? How do we teach them? And again, I don't know how to go any further than just setting the example before them ourselves. And so, I left you with this comment last time when we closed class 2 weeks ago. And the comment was this: what parents do with liberty, kids will do with license. And I ask you just to think about that a little bit from the last time we were together. This really applies to just about everything. And I'm going to paint with a broad brush here, and I realize that there are exceptions to every rule. But generally speaking, what parents do with liberty, let's take, for example, social drinking. Let's suppose that you take the stance that there's nothing wrong with a little drink every now and then, or maybe having a glass of wine with my meal. And I'm going to take liberty with this idea here. But don't be surprised when you do that your children won't take that further. What you're doing with liberty, they'll do with license. And again, speaking in general terms here, it'd be very common to find a child growing up with that attitude would take that a step further and be involved in alcohol and drugs and have a problem with that. That wouldn't be uncommon at all. So I say that just to say, how does that relate to our money? Again, if you're not careful, your children are going to see how you handle money, and they'll take it to the extreme as far as giving to the church and as far as managing your budget and so forth. So again, modeling proper behavior. A careful man I want to be. A little fella follows me. I do not care to go astray for fear he'll go the self same way. I cannot once escape his eyes. What he sees me do, he tries. Like me, he says, he's going to be that little chap who follows me. He thinks that I am big and fine. He believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see, that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be, that little chap who follows me. Setting examples. Setting examples. Okay. Now let's carry this a little further here. Maybe. Teach them to work. Now we said, when we talked about this when we were together 2 weeks ago, about things that we'd like to pass on to our children. Teach them to work. And I shared a quote with you about the fact that the family unit was the first community that your children are a part of. And they're going to learn authority, they're going to learn respect for authority, and they're going to learn a lot of things in that little unit, beginning at home. And so let's talk about work here, as far as that goes. Now, this is in my opinion, okay? And I told you before, we've spent a lot of time in Scripture here, and we're spending a little bit of time now just drawing some general conclusions to our study. And this is in my opinion. As part of the family community, children should be responsible for their share of the household chores. And I don't think they need to be paid for that. Now there's some disagreement with this, and I'm going to share both sides with you. I'm going to share my opinion to start with. I think the children ought to have to do their share, and their share depending on their age. Start them young and give them more responsibilities the older they get. They need to pull their weight in the family, and they don't need to do it by money. Now there's the mindset there that I want to give my children allowances, but I'm going to tie those allowances to the chores. They don't do the chores, they don't get the allowance. That's okay. I understand that there's that school of thought. And I'll tell you what that school of thought would say. That school of thought would say, if we give them allowances without tying chores or responsibility to those allowances, you're raising a generation of people entitlement-minded. We have raised that, hadn't we? We have raised that, and I understand that. So there's kind of a fine line to walk here. You don't want to raise your children with the attitude of being entitled to anything. So I understand that, but in my opinion, I want them to work. I want them to be part of the household chores here, without money being attached to that. That's what you do because you're part of this family. I pull my weight, you pull your weight, because you're part of this family. But let's talk about allowances a little bit. And this is a decision you're going to have to make. How are the children going to learn financial responsibility if they don't have some money that they have to control, that they have to manage? So at some point, and I would say early on, give them, whether you attach chores to it or not, give them an allowance that's age appropriate and teach them from early on how to manage that. And again, I say, in my opinion, I don't think the allowances should be tied to work for pay projects. I think that you can also have projects that they can work and earn money, but allowances, whether you tie it to work or not, you're going to give them money early on. And this, you'll just have to make that decision there. Let me say that for 1 minute. Okay, let's talk just a little bit about paying them to work. I got 2 points I want to make. If you pay your children to work, whether it's chores, household responsibilities, or if they get old enough and you give them extra jobs that you're going to pay them. Here are just a couple of thoughts here. Pay your children only for jobs completed. What are we trying to teach them? We're trying to teach them how to work. We're trying to teach them a good work ethic here. If you pay them 50% of the pay for a 50% job completed, what have you taught them? You don't have to finish what you start. That's right. And the quality of your work is not involved. What does the Bible have to say about that? Proverbs 12:11 says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense." Teaching the children some idea of responsibility. So if you offer the child if it's allowances or if you offer the child jobs around the house that they can work and earn money, then one thing you might want to remember is pay them only for jobs that's completed. The other thing I would say to that is pay them for quality work. What does the Bible have to say about that? In Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. See, we're teaching our children here biblical attitudes as far as work is concerned. So, a couple of things there. I've got some other things here about encouraging saving and whatnot, but I'm trying to... I want to get us through today, so I want to move on here a little bit. Again, for them to learn, you're going to have to give them money. So, let me put this up and let's talk about it. You're going to have to give them some money for them to manage. The 10-45-45 rule. Now, if you remember, and if you've been with us through our study, earlier on we looked at something we call the 10-10-80 rule about us. And the 10-10-80 rule says the first 10, the top 10, goes where? To God. Off the top of the heap. The first fruits. The first 10 goes to God. The second 10 we looked at, if we're wise stewards, will go to savings. We'll go to planning for our future and to take care of our family. And then we learn to live on 80%. We talked about that at length, that if you'll learn to live on 80% of your income, that'll help you be a wise steward of the funds. First 10 goes to God, off the top. First check I write every month is to the church. And then we pay the other bills, which includes the taxes and things like that. And that we talked about that. But how does that relate to a 10-45-45 rule? Well, with children, I would offer this as a suggestion here for you. Teach your children from the earliest time that it's 10% to God. The first 10% is they're giving to God and to the church. And then the rest of their money, divide it in half. 45 of it goes to savings, and 45 of it is for them to spend. What do you think about that? Feedback, comments, whatever. Savings, because those kids are going to grow up and they're going to need an automobile one of these days, and that car is going to have insurance on it, and it's got to have tires on it and all of that kind of stuff. So teach them to be saving, you know, toward that. But then give them, you know, their portion of the money for them to spend. Charlie, you had a comment.
I was just saying, like, in our situation, there's so much temptation for them out there. Ashton earns, like, cutting grass money and stuff like that with pawn and everything else. And he thinks if you pass the store, you got to stop. And, I mean, it's just hard for him. And we try to teach them to save, to buy big things and stuff like that, even video games or anything that they want. And, I mean, if we would have had some kind of clue earlier on to be able to do something with it, I mean, they need it.
Yeah. Ashton is at an age where, boy, these lessons right here can really be taught. And you can mess up. I'm going to give you some more GT philosophy here. But you can mess up because the inclination is to go out and buy those things for those kids and never let them want and never let them have to manage their money in order to buy those things. And that's, we live in a culture where overindulgence. Parents, you know, the last couple of generations have been raised with kids just being overindulged and giving everything they want. So,
and he has those friends with the mean parents.
Well, you have to combat that, don't you? But it really starts early on, and I think I've shared this before with you. But when our children were small, we gave them their allowances on Sunday morning in denominations that would accommodate their giving to the Lord. And I'm talking about when they were preschool, very, very early on. I remember giving them, I'd go to the bank at the first of the month and get our cash monies for all of our different envelopes, and I'd ask for a roll of quarters at the bank. Every month I picked up a $10 roll of quarters. And what I would do with those quarters is I divided them up so that I could give the kids their allowance already broken up so that they would know what goes to church. And I felt like it was important. Now, I want to say this with all the kindness that I can. And I hesitate to say it, but I'm going to. I mess up from time to time, and I'll just do it. You're missing an opportunity of teaching, giving to your children when you hand them a dollar bill right before the plate gets to them. You're missing an opportunity there. Because that's not really, yeah, they're putting that money in the plate, but that's not really their money they're putting in the plate. Don't miss the opportunity. And I'm telling you, just about Luke's size, not much older than Luke and up, they're old enough to do this. To give them their allowance and teach them, okay, now here's how much goes to the church. Here's how much goes in your piggy bank. Run and put it in your piggy bank. And this is yours to spend. But you put that's going to church in your pocket. And when that plate comes, you nudge the little one and let him get his money out and put it in there. What are you teaching him from early on? Teaching him early on that giving is a personal responsibility. It's his money, and he's giving his money. Now, I found this extremely interesting. You know what the average, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know the age of the children, but you know what? There was a survey done a couple of years ago, and I think it might have been among school age kids. But the average weekly allowance, venture a guess what it was. Average weekly allowance, $11. $11. Watch how easy this would be right here. Now, I'm a math person, and I know that a dollar is not exactly 10% of $11. But look how easy it would be if your child is old enough. Now, $11 is too much to give a young child, but let's just use it for an average. If your child is old enough to receive an allowance of $11 per week, look how easy it would be for you to give that allowance to him. Don't give him a 10 and a 1. Give it to him as a 1 and a 5 and a 5. And he puts that in the plate, he puts that in his piggy bank, and that's his to spend. You're teaching financial responsibility when you do that. So,
Glenn, on the 10, if I remember right, back when we were on the 10%, wasn't
right.
That kind of like the minimum? I mean, that was about the least God accepted. I mean, why would you not?
Well, it, Wesley,
why are you pounding them a 10?
You got me.
Oh.
You got me on that, okay? you're exactly right. So, Wesley's made a good point here. That we did when we talked about 10-10-80, when we talked about tithing and 10%, that 10% is the beginning. 10% shouldn't be what you aim for. 10% should be the base. Thank you, Joe. 10% should be the base. So, forget my example. Wesley caught me on that one. But I would say there's just something to think about. Something to think about. What are we talking about? We're talking about how you teach financial responsibility to children. And the biggest principle we can say is example. They're going to watch you. If you live by a budget, if you watch and your lifestyle is moderation. You know, Paul says that to the Philippians, let's do all things in moderation. If your lifestyle is characterized by moderation, your example is going to speak volumes to the kids. But there are little things like this that you can do that will help the kids as well. And I told you before, I'll say this again, that when Teresa and I were raising our kids, and when they were little, we started this right here, way before they were school age, and continued. When they got a little bit older and we felt like they were old enough, we added their lunch money to their allowance. Now, you buy your own lunch. You manage your money. If you want to do without lunch, or if you want to buy a bunch of extra desserts, whatever, that's your decision. Okay? Then when they got a little bit older, we took out their clothing allowance. When they got to be young teenagers, we took out their clothing allowance from our family budget. That was one of my cash things that I would take out their portion and add it to their money that we give them each week. And then they were responsible for their spending money, their lunch money, their clothing, and whatever. So there are things that you can do that will help depending on the age of the child. Now, I've got here some age-specific ideas that I intended on giving you, age 8 and under, ages 9 to 12, the teenage years. I think I'm through with it. I think we've said enough about it. I'm going to hit two or three questions that I thought might be of interest to you as we close our class today. But before we leave the kids, comment. Questions or let me have a comment. Cindy.
I'm going to go on record and didn't have a problem with this, okay? But okay. I have heard many parents say that now that our children are responsible for their own money, they also choose the clothes that they want to buy, and sometimes those clothes are inappropriate. So how do you fight that battle?
Well, I didn't raise girls, and that's not as big a problem with boys as it was with girls. But I think, well, I'm trying to not get on a soapbox here as well. But I think that a lot of fathers are really dropping the ball on the way their daughters dress by not being more involved in what they buy. So just my giving the clothing allowance to the child and saying it's your responsibility to buy your clothes is not giving them a blanket liberty to buy anything you want to. I mean, as long as they still live in my house, they know expectations. And I would hope that would be, that wouldn't even be a discussion, you know, if you raised them right in other areas. But again, with girls and with the culture that we live in, that's a problem. That's a problem. But I think again, that the daddies are dropping the ball on a lot of that stuff. Daddies know, Bobby, I'm trying not to chase that rabbit, but daddies know how men think. And I think that daddies really ought to be more involved in what their wives wear. Got issues with that too. And what their teenage daughters wear. We got problems with that.
Now, it doesn't start when you're teenagers.
Well, you know what? That's exactly right. We had a child in this congregation here that, I don't want to identify who the person is, but let me just say a young, early elementary child that's wanting to know why she couldn't buy such and such clothes because that's what the others were wearing. So it does start at a very young age.
You know, you don't buy the two-piece swimsuits. You don't let them wear the short skirts. Not that that wasn't a need. I mean, you know, it was a constant. But you said if you'd raised them right, well, you're still raising them when you're in that dressing room.
Yeah.
Bend over, sit down, cross your legs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and two, sometimes when they're out on their own, they'll make that wrong decision and they drag that thing home and they just wasted their money.
Let me tell you, and I know this won't surprise you. I know this won't surprise you, but let me tell you as a retired principal what I dealt with in schools. Well, he knows. He knows what I'm fixing to say. As a matter of fact, Alan knows because he's in the principal's office now. Girls would put on clothes and then either put on clothes over them or have them in a bag with them to come to school. And many of the time that the girls were dressed in school. I'm picking on the girls, but the girls were dressed in school differently than what they left home in. So that's a big issue. Well, let me ask you this before we get into our questions here. What do you think about this? Even as you women, boy, I'm gonna get in trouble here. Keep on, I'm getting real trouble today. What about you having clothes in your wardrobe at home that you would say, I wouldn't wear that to church? I'm not talking about jeans and stuff, you know, that you might not wear to church. I'm talking about something that you would think that might not be appropriate to wear to church. What do you think about that?
It's not modest enough to wear to church. You don't need to have it on.
God's everywhere. It's just not.
Amen. 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 So these attitudes toward dress, that's a good comment, Cindy. A good issue to bring up. And
when you talk about age, I took the girls out to eat last Monday night. five teenage girls came in the where we were about to eat, and my four and five, my children went, "Daddy, that's inappropriate for someone to wear." I said, "You're right. That's exactly right," because they were in their bikini top and shorts.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, even at that early age, you can instill in them values and how they cover their bodies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Get down on my head, you're talking about differences in men's thinking of daddies and what their cousins, what they should be doing. Everybody knows my wife, Patricia, how modest she tries to dress. But she, there's been occasions when she said, "I did not realize when I point something out to her that that would be that way with a man."
Yeah.
She just didn't think about it. And everybody knows her and how, what kind of person she is. But I think our thought processes are so different when we dress sometimes. It's almost unreal.
Well, you know, the Lord made us different. And in the Garden of Eden, when he created a help meet for Adam, he didn't create Adam and Steve, did he? He created Adam and Eve, two different ones.
I think it's beneficial if daddies went shopping with their daughters and go through it. It's not pleasant sometimes.
It's not
pleasant. It is a donkey.
Yeah.
But let the daddies go so that when you get home and you say, "I am worn out totally. This has been the battle of the day." Sorry, Galen. You were 6 minutes one time. But
and I really thought this class was going to have me in the spot.
Well, I'll say this. Teresa has said that God took care of me because some of my attitudes towards some of these things, I wouldn't have done well raising a daughter because I would have been too hard on her, and it would have been difficult. So I will not put myself in a situation.
We have so many families like that. I even see it at church that parents want to be friends with their kids. Mm-hmm. They want to be their friends, and then I look around at people today whose parents were their friends when we were growing up, who have no idea how. I mean, they think everything needs to be given to them. You're bears for them, I guess.
Yeah.
You can be friends with your kids, but they got to know you're the daddy first.
Yeah, and a lot of that depends on the age. I mean, I hope that I can be friends to mine now because both my sons are grown. But my relationship with them today is very, very different than it was when they were 10 years old or 12 years old. John.
Back to Cindy's original question. You talk about clothes.
Absolutely.
So you can't just pick and choose your battles. If you're gonna teach them to spend their money wisely and do what they're supposed to do, one that same does.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I didn't mean for this to get too far in this direction, but I think these are all good comments.
I should just keep quiet.
No, I want to hear what people have got to say.
One of the problems I think with our nation. I see young men, and I've experienced this, where if something went wrong with their jobs, for instance, they were, they just blew them apart. They didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
If they've been taught to work, you don't have that problem. They'll find something to do. That may relate to part of our problem.
It does, it does.
Our generation of kids today, as I think it's been brought up, but they look at everything and they don't want to start at the bottom and go up. They want to start where we have to go up.
Yeah. Well, let's end our class today here on our money discussion with just a couple of these questions. I think we got time to address them a little bit. First one I had on my list for us to consider, is it wrong for a Christian to participate in government-sponsored lotteries, bingo, etc.? Is that wrong for a Christian? Is that something that we ought to be participating in? Well, here's just some here's a couple of things for you to keep in mind. This sort of thing, lotteries, bingo, etc., capitalize on weaknesses within people to get rich quick. And the Bible has something to say about that. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. And also, think about this. Those people who do win are winning at the expense of others. People that's bought lottery tickets or they've gone in to play these bingo games. And oftentimes, those are the very ones who can least afford to lose that kind of money. Teresa and I used to, when we first married, we lived next door to a family that had a bunch of little old kids, and the daddy would come in and he would bring cases of beer in with him. So I know what was going on in that house. And those little old kids one time came to our house and knocked on the door and wanted to know if we had any mayonnaise. Yeah, we got some mayonnaise, so we gave them some mayonnaise. They came back in a few minutes, wanted to know if we had any bread. Yeah, we got some bread, we gave them some bread. They came back a third time, wanted to know if we had any bananas. Those kids were hungry in that home. The daddy was bringing in that beer and stuff. See, a lot of times the people who are doing this, and you may know of them, but they're the ones that least can afford to lose that kind of money. What does 1 John 2:10 say about that? Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. I wouldn't want to be a stumbling block to those folks. So, wrong to participate in government lotteries and bingo? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Here's a question. My spouse and I were living on two salaries until I became ill and unable to work. Since we're now not able to pay all the credit card charges and our debt is out of control, should we declare bankruptcy and just start over? Share one verse with you. Psalms
is one of the most wrong laws we have.
Psalms 37:21. What does the Bible have to say about this? The wicked borrow and do not repay. Now, I'm not going to condemn everybody that's ever filed bankruptcy and whatnot. I don't know the situation. But I think that, for me personally, I would want to go to those creditors and I'd want to say, I can't pay you. And I may have to file bankruptcy, but I'm going to pay you what I can. I wouldn't feel right about it just to wipe it off.
The law won't let you do that.
Okay, well, maybe it won't. Then I wouldn't
file
bankruptcy.
If you file bankruptcy, you're not allowed to go pay nothing.
Then I wouldn't file bankruptcy. If that's true, I don't know, Mary. You got me on that.
That's the law, but you can save the money up and pay them all of it when you want to.
There's a certain type of bankruptcy where you still pay your creditors back.
Right. Well, I don't know enough about the laws to know that, but just generally speaking, what can I do about my husband's refusal to divulge or share with me information about our finances? Well, if you had that situation. Boy, I'm saved by the bell on that one, aren't I? Let me say one more time. We are finished with our study, but if you've got specific questions, I'll address those next week before we begin something else in our study, okay? Thank you much.
Where y'all want to eat?
Wherever y'all want to.
Okay.
What about a fishing tournament?